Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. And I'm blessed to be sitting with two wonderful people, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is fun. Fun trio here.
I hope so. I'm counting on you making it that way. You know, it's still the first week of the year. And I heard a survey this weekend about resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the top resolutions, they had a list of 8 or 10. Let me give you a few. The top 5 say, number 1 is to exercise more.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that always?
Yeah. Number 2 is to eat healthier. 3 is to lose weight. 4 is to, if I can read my writing, to save more money. And 5 is to spend more time with family and friends. And the interesting thing to me was that after 1 week, 25% of those resolutions drop off.
Ooh.
Only 75% keep it.
Well, and isn't it interesting that we tend to care about our bodies, right, our appearance, right, then our money, then our friends, and then where is God on that list, right?
Not there.
Yeah.
I went down to number 8. He's not there.
And I think the reason that we drop off so much in pursuit of those goals is our fuel source. Because we don't have enough of the fuel on our own to keep mm-hmm. up with these great goals
yeah.
that we have. But God promises He'll be the fuel, He'll be the energy for us if we ask for it. But then we have to ask with the right motivation. So if I only want to look better by exercising, but my motivation isn't I want to be stronger and love my family better, that's not sufficient motivation to keep us going.
Mm-hmm. The top reason listed for failure was that the goals were too difficult. I couldn't handle it. Too much discipline. A money issue came up, so I succumbed to what I need to send my money on. Things like that. So it's just too difficult, and they're not tapping into the resource they
need
to
right.
tap into.
We have a hard time saying no to ourselves.
So what's your suggestion to help folks get that tap in or to shy away from the things that will keep them from succeeding?
I think we need to invite God to improve our mm-hmm. reason why we're pursuing these goals, because
yeah.
we can't necessarily change that on our own. We want to look good. But God can help our heart want these good things for the right reasons. And then we need to get our triple braided cord together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's God and the people who are going to be on this path with us.
Right. Some accountability mm-hmm. helps, because in ourselves, in and of ourselves, we're not strong enough. Right?
It's kind of, the metaphor is a little bit like the meeting Jesus in the seed of the sower, the seed that fell on rocky ground. You know, it sprung up, it was really good, but mm-hmm. then tough times came and it withered. And so we just have to find the right ground to sow our seed
mm-hmm.
in, number
right.
one. I think that's what you're saying.
So, yeah. So, right. You are saying that. Stay connected to the Lord. Put Him first. And then bring Him into each of these activities. Don't go it alone.
Well, and number 5 was spend more time with family and friends. And that's a big way to help you do
mm-hmm.
that, too. Because through those friends, you can get that accountability. And
right.
they can be a voice of reason for you
mm-hmm.
and where to run when you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that. Folks, I hope you will take that to heart. One of the ways you can take it to heart is on January 21st, we've got an emotional freedom workshop. And if you register by tomorrow, you'll get $120 off.
Well, and that helps to deal with the obstacles, right?
There you
our
go.
Emotional obstacles that get in the way of us fulfilling who we want to be, who God wants us to be, right?
Yeah.
So why do we keep stumbling?
Steve and Chris Williams and Jackie McHarris will be speakers at that workshop, and I hope it's easy. It's online. Give us a call, and we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. And it's Happy New Year time still for another week. Even though I was preaching last week not to say Happy New Year.
Why?
Say Joyful New Year. Say...
Merry New Year.
Give God the glory New Year.
I mean, yes.
We're not called to be happy.
But it's not bad to be happy. I think in some ways we are called to be happy, but not the superficial type of happy.
Right.
Right? That's where joy is deeper.
Well, let's see if we can help Sarah with her joy and happiness and what she's struggling with. She's calling us, listens on WAVA and from Washington, D.C. Hello, Sarah. How can we help you?
Hi. Joyful New Year to all.
You pay attention,
all right.
Sarah. You're on Larry's good side.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And my question is, how do I have a relationship with my daughter when I don't believe she's living a life according to God's word and will? Mm. She told me that she is homosexual, and this has just been just consuming my thoughts. I've been asking God why. I've been praying. I've been doing everything I could, and it's just consuming me.
Sarah, how long ago did she tell you?
She told me last year, around Thanksgiving time, but in the past she told me that she was like struggling with emotions about her sexual identity. Mm-hmm. And then we would pray, and I would tell her to pray to seek God's face and to ask God for guidance. And she dated young men at one time, but during the planning for Thanksgiving last year, she said, she just came out and said, "Well, I'm not going to come home because I don't feel mentally and emotionally safe with you." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And then that's when she was telling me about her feelings and that she was going to spend, her holidays with someone else.
And has she withdrawn from you in an ongoing way since then?
Yes.
Oh, how painful. Drastically.
Oh.
What was relationship and like before she told you?
We would talk every day.
Oh, wow. So she was very connected to you.
Yes. Hmm. When people would see me by myself, they would be like, "Well, where's your daughter?" Hmm. We have a beautiful relationship, and I think that's why it's just my heart feels as though it's just been ripped out of my body.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge loss for you, Sarah. It's not just your daughter going against your value system. You've lost the relationship that you had with her. Sarah, does your daughter live in the D.C. area? Is she close by? Is she far away?
No, she's in school.
Okay.
She's in school about 4 hours away.
Okay.
And I was looking for, someone that we can talk to. And she agreed that, we can talk to someone about our relationship. But she said, "But don't think that I'm going to talk about my sexual identity. Don't think that you will be able to change me from my thinking."
Right.
About
so
that.
That's what she's afraid of. And I'm wondering, and you would have to prepare yourself for this, but to let your daughter know that, yes, you want to talk to someone about your relationship, but that you know, she's an adult now, And you are not looking to change her. What you're looking for, first of all, that you miss her terribly. You miss the relationship that you had. And that what you are looking for is to just understand. And that even if you guys disagree, right, that you still want to be in relationship and you want to understand what has her journey been like. How did she get there? How did she draw it? Like, for her to be able to talk it out loud and to let her know that you will just listen. You will not interject. You will not tell her how it should be different. And that you understand that this is her journey. And as her mother, you just want to have some understanding so that you can walk beside her.
And Sarah, that's a pretty tall order, and it might feel impossible. I would certainly want to change my daughter, correct her, get her back on the right path that I know to be true for her. Does it feel almost impossible to let go of the need to change her?
Yes, it does. Yes. And I think that's the problem that I'm having, is this, you know, no control, and that I just want her to live a life that is not outside or independent of God.
Of course.
I don't want her to believe she's happy living this life when it is not God's will is for her.
Absolutely, and that is what all of us moms want, and that's what you have to continue praying for and praying that other people can come into her life and speak truth. But a very powerful, and it's hard to realize that this is powerful, what I'm asking you to do is a very powerful position, because if you can love her where she's at, then she's not focusing on pushing you away, blaming you, your God, you know, all of these things. She has to wrestle with the issues in and of herself, right? So you're not condoning it, but you're saying, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to understand. And in loving her, you're being Jesus to her.
Sarah, how are you doing walking through this? Is her father engaged in this at all? Are you walking through this struggle alone?
Yeah, I'm walking through it alone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I have so many feelings of shame and guilt, and then I'm thinking about myself. I'm like, why am I thinking about myself? You know, with my feelings when, you know, her soul is what needs to be front and center.
What do you feel guilty for, Sarah?
I just feel guilty that, you know, I did divorce her father. He was abusive. And that, you know, hindsight's 20/20, can't change anything, but just like, man, I wish I'd never laid eyes on him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe her life would be different now.
So you have regret. You have regret that you're having to grieve. And when we blame ourselves, sometimes it feels like, well, if I can blame myself, then I could have done it differently and I could have changed the outcome. And it feels helpless to feel like I did everything I could possibly do. Life was imperfect and this is the outcome.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to contend with.
Yes, it is very hard. And I hear you when you're talking about making that distinction of loving her where she is. Mm-hmm. But it's just so hard. No matter how hard I try, I'm like, how do I do that?
Right.
I just don't know how to make that distinction.
Sarah, I want to direct your focus in two things that you have some control over, since you can't control what she decides to do, how she decides to live her life. But you can wonder and develop compassion for her about how living with an abusive father may have made men very frightening for her, even though she dated some men when she was younger. But Sarah, when I delve into the story of people who choose the path of homosexuality, I always find legitimate reasons when I listen to their story for long enough, and I come to the place of saying, that makes sense, that perhaps this was the safest way you figured out to do life. It makes sense. And when we try to understand why our children made those choices, it brings about more mercy and more compassion in us. And then, Sarah, you have the ability to look at her statement, "I don't feel safe, Mom, to come home with you right now." And you said, "Sarah, I feel like I don't have any control in this." And I want you to wonder, what might it have been about your presentation as a mom that led her to feel emotionally unsafe or like she was going to be judged or criticized? And sometimes when we're really firm and strong in our belief and in our faith system, it can unintentionally come across as judgmental. And so you're
Because there is conviction of the Holy Spirit. So people feel that anyway, right? Just by virtue of us holding a stance.
Meeting with her, inviting her to meet somewhere other than her home,
would
be a much safer feeling for her.
Taking her up on the willingness to see a therapist and to come in, Sarah, with the intention of leaving with greater understanding and being willing to hear, what was it like for you to have me as a mom? Let's talk about, were there some good things? And did you feel judged by me? Did you feel criticized by me? Because you have power over that part of showing up with your daughter, Sarah. And it will have an effect. It brings grace into the situation.
Well, and you guys were very close, right? And you said you talked every day. And while on the one hand, that's a wonderful thing, there might have been some over-enmeshment there. And so she's pushing against you to separate. But she may then be enmeshing with a new kind of friend, partner, right? So where it's just the two of them. So if it was just the two of you, right, she's doing the same thing in a different arena. Right. So there's some dealing with relationship and attachment and how she connects with others. And does she have, you know, multiple friends? And how does she function as an adult? So there's lots to talk about besides just the sexual identity issues. It's all about her growing up. But I agree with you, Alice, that when you hear the story, it helps you understand why and develop that compassion. Now, Sarah, that doesn't mean that you don't have any boundaries around this or that like you're embracing the partner and you're all buddies, right? There's asking for mutual understanding too, that we do see it differently. So that may mean that I might be around you and your partner, I might not. Right? Or I might be around you and your girlfriend, but ask you not to be physical because that would be too uncomfortable for me. Things like that down the road.
And her willingness to attend a therapy session with you is probably a testimony to the good relationship you have with her and the foundation you built with her. That's amazing to me that she's willing to do that. And I think it speaks to the kind of mom you've been for her.
And if you need help finding a therapist, we have a great group of people in Washington, D.C. area. So let us know that, too.
Yes, that's something I would really enjoy. I think I would really want to do that, even if she doesn't, something for myself.
I think you do need something for yourself. And, Sarah, there are even groups at churches of parents of children that choose this lifestyle that might be a support to you as well. You'll have to seek them out, research a little
bit. As I hear you talk, Sarah, I think this Emotional Freedom Online workshop would be really helpful for you. It's easy to do. You never, don't even have to leave your home. And if you sign up by tomorrow, you're going to get some money off of the registration fee. So I hope you'll consider that. How about a book?
Thank you.
I think How We Love Our Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one.
We're going to send How We Love Our Kids to you from Mylon K. Yurkovich. And just thank you for calling us, Sarah. We hope this is helpful.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
it is.
We hope there's a turnaround.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we've got a couple of calls we're going to go to right after this break. But in talking about workshops,
Well, the emotional freedom.
Emotional freedom. Every man's battle starts tomorrow in Washington, D.C. February, we've got two workshops that are pretty important. We've got Intimacy and Marriage right here in Orange County, Mylan and Kay Yurkovich. Their last time doing that workshop with us. So if you are ever thinking about it, this would be a good one to go to. We've got other people lined up that we will fill their roles. We're not ready to announce that, but we're working on it. Restore is February 24th to 26th in Orange County, right here. Two Orange County workshops in February where the sun is going to come out again. We've got a lot of rain lately. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And we're going to go right to the phones and talk to Tom. Tom is in Springfield, Missouri. He listens online. And there we go. Tom, how can we help you today?
I'm here.
Yes, sir. I want to talk to you.
All righty. So, all right. Over the past several months, our home has been chaotic. And actually, it's been going on for even longer, but it just seems like the last couple months has been even more so. And my wife and I have had talks, and we've had talks with also our son. It's just us living in the home now. He's 16. And it's just the very simple day-to-day stuff, chores, you know, other homework and just other responsibilities being done according to how we've discussed. And I noticed, this goes back as far as the summer of 18, I started working full-time. I had two part-time jobs, and I had more time. I was at dinner. Things were enforced pretty regularly, but then when I started working full-time, I'm not home for dinner. I come home a little later sometimes, and then the basic things like how much time playing video games, what to make for dinner, he's a picky eater, all those simple basic things. And now that he's older, you know, freedoms with friends and all that kind of stuff. What I call the drift is happening way too often. My wife is tired. Sometimes she doesn't want to deal with the confrontation. So, hey, why don't you do this?
So how would you put a question to us?
So how do we best handle what I call the drift, because it's causing a rift with my wife and I, then I'm looked at as the bad guy because I'm always knocking on the door. I'm always just telling him what to do. But if things were done, I wouldn't be knocking on your door at 9 o'clock at night. Why isn't the garbage taken out? Why is the floor? And he's supposed to report to my wife or me if I'm home, hey, I'm done with said chore. Can you inspect it? Sure. That doesn't happen, and then the garbage isn't out, and it's just chaos. Where's our son?
Tom,
he went here and here.
Was he more compliant before you took on the full-time job?
Oh, way more so.
And do you think there were any other major changes in addition to your work changing that impacted him around that time?
That I know of, no. You know, back then he was, I think, around 12, you know, and I don't see. I review this all the time, and that seems like to be the pattern. I lay down the law. We have a family meeting again, and we go back to what we all agreed on, and all is fine for a week, and then the drift happens.
When's the last time you had fun with your son?
Trying to think here. You know, I have to say, it's been a while. But here's the thing, too. With that said, all the last 4 years, I mean, I've been his assistant baseball coach. We've played countless hours of catch, going to the park, pitching to him, taking him to Culver's. And so we've done a ton of that. And I've even said to him, hey, do you want to do this today? Do you want to do that today? And he's pulled away a lot. And I said to him, I don't want to come home to be the taskmaster. but things have to get done. And if I come home, and I'll say this, I'll go 3 or 4 days without saying anything to see if it'll correct.
And Tom, do you have any suspicion of substance use, alcohol, pot?
No, we're pretty good on that front. I have no reason to believe. I check his phone a lot to see what's on there.
So has life changed for him socially?
Well, he's always playing basketball. He's on organized sports, baseball, football, basketball, and he's always going to the rec center with his friends. Mm-hmm. He asks to go over to his friends to watch football. We don't allow him to go over to friends that we don't know. We don't know his parents, and he don't like that. He thinks he should be able to go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he does get to do a lot. He just doesn't get to do everything.
So right.
I have no reason to believe he's doing those things. My wife is all about checking the eyes and where you've been, and because we dealt with that with our daughter.
Okay.
And my wife is all about checking, so.
So, Tom, I just want to remind you that there is a big difference between 12 and 16, and just biologically for teenagers, right, we always talk about how there's a spike in dopamine, which means they're all about pleasure seeking. Right? So their whole goal in life, and it's like they don't have a brain, right? And there's always those jokes, the more boys that are together, they share like less than half a brain, right? So because they're just all about what's going to be fun and not about what's going to not be fun. And I do hear the music, Larry, so you can cut me off, but and so let's talk more about that, your expectations of him. And you dealing with a kid at a different stage of life than you did before on way less time. I think all those factors play in.
Yeah, we've got a couple of questions, too, that we'll cover them right after the break. But we want to help you. You can have a good, restored relationship with your son, and I don't think it's going to take as much tweaking and effort as you think. But let's talk about that. We're going to come back right after the break here in a few seconds. And help you out, Tom. So hang in there with us.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Tom. He has a son, 16 years old, and he's called it the drift. His son is drifting, and we've been talking about that here, Tom. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, say a couple things, and I'll let the ladies wrap this up.
Sure.
This is in no special order, but I thought it was telling. We agreed here that when we asked if the last time you had fun with your son, you had to pause and even think about it. And so I want to encourage you to look for those opportunities and don't necessarily ask permission for him to go do something or be together. Tell him, hey, we're going to do this. Hey, let's go. I got the keys of the car. Here's the balls. Let's go. Too often, in my experience, the generation behind me asks their kids for permission for when they want to do something or suggest something. And the kids aren't always looking to be the permission giver. So try to be a little assertive in saying, this is what we're going to do, and make it something fun. go to a movie.
Well, something that you can do side by side, and something that also generates talking, but not talking about all the stuff he's not doing. Like, make it a point that when you're out, to get to know what excites him, what interests him, and talk about where his heart is at, really, is what you're wanting. So, just kind of focus on his world instead of the world that you're expecting him to fit into.
It's going to be uncomfortable for you because I hear the discipline, taskmaster wanting it to be this and so. And sometimes that's not the more you want that, the more he pushes back.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be better to ease up on that a little bit and work on relationship. And the last thing
Well,
the last thing I wanted to say was, at Every Man's Battle, I've gone to that month after month after month for years, and we do a thing called the Father Wound. And one of the things we have discovered that guys never have heard or were hoping they would just hear their dad say, "I'm proud of you." Some men in their 50s and 60s never heard their father say anything like that. And it'd be good if...
For their character, right?
Yes, for who they are, not just what they did.
Yeah.
Not, "I'm proud because you got a double at the ball game," but, "I'm proud of you. You're my son. And it's great to see what you're doing, and just that you're alive and you like to do what you like to do. Just, I'm proud of you, son." And it brings tears to men's eyes 30 years after the fact because they never heard it. So make it a point.
And here's the other thing, something that Mylon always talks about, that if you're able to be out and having some good conversation with your son, to invite him to share, what is it like to be on the receiving end of me as a dad?
Yeah.
And you have to be in a place...
Oh, he already told me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What did he say?
"Oh, you're always trying to control me.
Yeah.
You don't let me do anything." And that's not true. That's
Okay, but that's his perception, Tom. That's his perception. You can't control his perception.
I know, but he's acting on that perception.
Yeah.
And it's not true. And the drift, if I may clarify a few things, because these are good points, but the thing is, I don't want to be the taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
But the drift is between my wife and I enforcing what we've agreed on. So I now, by default, am saying, "Why isn't this done? Why isn't that done?"
So
when, before I come home from work, all this stuff should have already been done. My wife should have already inspected it, but they don't have a set dinner time. She's tired. She's stressed. And the drift happens three times this year. We've had major talks.
Tom, I suspect that your wife may be struggling with depression, and I wonder how much she's burnt out on all you've dealt with your daughter and
her.
Yes.
She's burnt out from the last. I'm the stepdad. I raised him since he was six. He's never seen his biological father except for when he was a baby, and she is super tired because for the last 10 or 15 years. He has been nothing but a thorn in both our sides.
Mm-hmm.
And he's texting my daughter and my wife now with stupidity. He took us to court for $12,000
2 years ago.
My wife,
biological dad?
Yes. Oh. And my wife is spent.
Oh.
And the dynamic is very hard.
Oh.
And I'm trying to keep order. So he looks at me as the taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked him to go to before Christmas. "Hey, let's go watch a game at Buffalo Wild Wings." Well, he fell asleep. I woke him up three times. I wrote him a Christmas letter, a very cool one that rhymes, by the way, a little poem, saying, "We're going to go to, you know, wherever you want to eat, and maybe even to watch a game." He's not too emotive, but for about a second and a half, I could tell, and my wife noticed. He loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making efforts.
Tom, you are such an active and engaged Father, and especially now to know that you're in a stepfather
role,
praise how active you are in his life. I really think a large part of the solution is actually getting your wife help, therapeutic help, mm-hmm. and probably medication as an intervention, because she's been spread too thin over all these years and under a lot of trauma with what her ex-husband has been doing.
And maybe the two of you need some support together in marital therapy, just to talk about mm-hmm. all of the stress that you're dealing with, and to talk about dealing with your son and how you guys can come together, but less in a task-oriented way, just more emotionally getting your family healthier.
And Tom, you're right to be focused on disciplinary issues mm-hmm. because, of course, you need to teach your son responsibility and self-control. But I think you know this about yourself. You are very quick to correct. You do attempt to connect with him, but you correct very quickly. Yeah. And you need a more prolonged listening posture with your stepson. Because he's been going through what his mom has been going through with all the court issues and as everything else with his father. So become a longer listener before you correct him. And I want you to keep something in mind. Research shows us that to be able to metabolize one critique, we need about 5 statements of praise. And so overloading on
5 to 10
and listening helps us then to receive the negative that we also need from our parents, but we need overwhelming positive reinforcement from our parents.
Tom, I want to send you a book that might help your wife, help you understand your wife and help her. It's Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. I don't know if there's a different book you guys thought.
That's spot on. That's spot on. And I also hope that you are leveraging what is important to your son so that he has access, as he's being a responsible and obedient son. He has the screen access, the access to friends, but it's contingent on his obedience within the home. Our son has no desire to clean, no desire to do homework, unless he gets to play his video games after he's done with it.
Immediate rewards work really well.
Yeah. Tom, thank you so much for calling us.
We've told him that. So, you know, everything you've said, we've tried to implement, and we have done it, but my wife is tired. And,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so you've helped me a lot. These are good encouragements.
Okay.
Good.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. Wow.
Yeah.
That little bombshell, he is a stepdad. That's there's so many elements to that to explore.
Well, and it just the stress that has been on all of their lives, right?
Boy.
Divorce just complicates things, and introducing new people and people missing.
What's his son's relationship with the biological father?
But he knows, obviously, he's around because he's wreaking havoc.
Well, I wanted to talk about a little bit about Club New Life before we go to our next call. Club New Life has been around for 22 years. I think we started in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we actually have 74 people who are still Club New Life who signed up in 71. We have kept the minimum amount monthly donation to be a part of that club at $30 since 2007. So it's 16 years. And we're upping that to $35. Not a huge increase, especially after 16 years. And we will grandfather that if somebody who is Club New Life paying $30 is not able to, not willing, not able, just can't do it. You'll still be in Club New Life. But if you can afford that extra $5 a month or more, we're going to ask you to do that. One of the things we're going to do, we want Club New Life to be more value than it's ever been before. And one of the things we're going to do is a monthly gathering of Club New Life people on Zoom. And the first one is going to be the 12th, so just coming up a week from today, actually. And it's going to be, thought I had something here, I don't. Steve's going to talk on...
Toxic tribal affinity.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then we want to hear from you. I mean, that talk alone will be engaging. But we want to hear from you. What has New Life been to you? What do you think New Life could do differently? What kind of questions do you have? Not necessarily want it to be another part of the radio show, but if you have a question that's you just got to have an answer, give us a call then, or be a part of that gathering. You'll be getting an invitation as a Club New Life member. If you're not a Club New Life member and you want to be a part of that gathering, it's not too late to join. Give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE, and you can sign up today. And there is so much more I want to say about that in giving, but I'm not. We'll come back and take another call. So thank you. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We've got another time for another call here, so we are going to talk to Barbara, West Palm Beach. Listens on our app. Way to go, Barbara. Appreciate that. How can we help you?
Hi. So excited to be talking to you. I've listened for quite a while. Know you from way back in, know Steve Odeburn from way back in the 70s or 80s, I believe
wow.
it was. Issue is that I am married almost 47 years. I will be 70. And I have two beautiful, healthy adult daughters with a couple of grandchildren. But my marriage has always been a challenge from day one in the area of physical intimacy. Mm. My love language is physical touch. And to be completely honest, which is the only way I know how to be, it's been 32 years. Since there's been any contact, this is something that's been an ongoing issue from honeymoon on, and I've been a Christian since 78, and you know it's interesting because every time when I get to a place where I'm really getting strong and I may make a move, you know, my husband develops a health issue, and they were serious health issues. So 2010, and then I think I may lose him. So, I mean, he's my partner, companion, but it's been an element that we it's an everyday course to carry, and that I have been carrying.
Barbara, how devastating to have this very important element missing all these years since the honeymoon, you said. Help us to try to understand your husband. What sexual injury might have preceded your marriage, putting him in a position to be vulnerable, to withdrawing this way?
The only thing I can think, and I am someone who wanted to be a therapist, okay? I have analyzed, and he had an extremely domineering mother who emasculated his father publicly at times. And that's the only thing I can think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, and I'm baffled, and I would like to go to heaven. I would like to know before I go to heaven, like what, why? And I even asked him.
Yeah, what does he say?
I think I get a little uncomfortable because he could show anger, and that will kind of shut me up sometimes. So,
do you think he uses his anger to push you away so that you won't go near the subject? Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Barbara, do you suspect pornography use on his part?
Do you know something? I don't.
Okay.
I absolutely don't. Unless I'm completely ignorant and naive, but I don't.
Has he ever had any medical tests to test his testosterone levels, things like that?
Yes. But he's never. They're low, and he's not really wanted to deal with it. So what happens is that I've been living in a situation. I'm no angel, okay? I mean, but I am an affectionate person, and what's happened is that and I'm losing my train. But the affection. Wait a minute. Bring me back.
What it sounded like you were going to make a confession. You've been no angel. What?
I've been no angel. So I go through depressions. He's been diagnosed years ago with what they called dysthymia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was atypical bipolar disorder, which I think as years progressed is more anxiety and depression than bipolar. But that's, you know.
And Barbara, when you've asked him to join you in therapy so that you two can learn how to grow closer, how has he responded to that request?
We have gone, but sadly, what happens is that we end up addressing the present issues, and we don't get to the depth of, you know, the root problem, like the issues of lack of intimacy.
And when was the last time you tried therapy, even though it stayed on the surface?
Oh, I am presently in
as a couple
in therapy now. No, that's a couple of years ago, we had a sad situation. A couple of years ago, we went a few times to, she wasn't a couples therapist. She was a new, maybe 4-year practicing therapist. And I think what happened was.
So Barbara, I need to interrupt because we're running down on time. It seems like the time to try again with an expert in this area. And there are two upcoming options that we can offer you, because one is our intimacy and marriage workshop. Mm-hmm. Where it's like 6 months of therapy in one weekend. Mm-hmm. And because your husband has been willing in the past to attend different forms of therapy, ask again. Put it in the terms of you want close relationship with him, and you want to work on improving both your style of approaching him, and you hope he'll join you in that process. And then let us connect you with an expert in marriage and sexual intimacy issues in our network of counselors. And that level of expertise will very likely lead to breakthrough for you.
Praise God. I'm looking forward to it. Okay.
Thank you. Stay on the line. We can get you connected to the people that can answer questions about that workshop.
And I think we should send her the book, How We Love.
Okay, we're going to send you the book, How We Love.
And we do need to shop around with therapists, because a great therapist in one area may not be the right fit for the particular problem that we're working on. So it's good, and we've got a whole network of counselors, and we can link you to the kind of clinician who has the expertise in the area you need.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It was fun. You were right at the beginning of this program. Tough issues.
Yes.
But you guys do a great job. Thank you. I just didn't get to finish up with Club New Life a little bit. When you join Club New Life for the first time, we'll send you the 1-year Bible for men or women when you join. That's a thank you for joining. If you want that, if you're already a Club New Life member and you don't have that Bible, up your giving by $10 a month or more, and we'll send that Bible to you. That's just something we like to do. I also want—I was so happy to see this. Lisa put some reminders and suggestions on the radio sheet every day for every program.
Lisa keeps us in line.
Lisa is the power of the radio program.
Behind us,
Lisa
yes.
Lisa and Terry. She said, reminder from Lamentations 3:22-24. It's only one of my favorite verses, so thank you, Lisa. But it's where Jeremiah says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is their faithfulness." And, you know, he says, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I have hope in him." And if you knew what he had just experienced before, he said, "Yet this I call to mind." It's amazing that he turned on a dime from the worst things he could have seen and experienced to, "Yet this I call in mind, and therefore I have hope." And so we hope that we give you some hope. Jill and Alice are just experts at digging and finding and helping and using their skills and education to help you, like all the other hosts. So please tune in again tomorrow. We love what we do, and we love that you're listening, and we'll call us then. So have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.